So I spoke almost 5 hours today on Lord Chaitanya, so I'm just going to try not to repeat anything I said earlier. But what I would like to emphasize is that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, many of them, in fact, practically all of them, had a message that we could all gain from and use in our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So I'll mention some of the incidents that pretty much gave an outstanding point of lecture that he wanted to emphasize in his leelas. Of course, we know before he actually took the sannyas order, even before he actually took initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya, he played the role of a teacher, a scholar, a pundit, a master of grammar and logic, and was known throughout the area of Navadvip as being the best in all categories. In fact, he could debate with anyone and everyone would be defeated. So he was also somewhat seen as an arrogant scholar. He would sometimes challenge people and say, tell me the definition of liberation. And they would give it and he'd say, go home, read your books, come back and I'll ask you tomorrow. So he was really emphasizing a type of mood of being a great scholar, not so much on the devotional line. So sometimes people ask, well, why did he do that? Why did he go spend his early part of his life simply in scholarship and defeating and teaching people grammar, logic, and nyack? Well, he actually proved what he was trying to do later on in life when he met his spiritual master Ishwarapuri in Gaya. He was completely changed. Now no more the arrogant scholar, the humble Vaishnava who had taken shelter of a great soul, a bona fide spiritual master, who was serving menially the devotees who were there at the time. So what he was trying to say is that in those days, to be a great scholar on the scriptures and be able to present that scholarship in opposition to any other arguments was considered to be a glorious person, a person who was known within the society as someone who has successfully made life. But at one point he gave it up. Why? He did that just to show that I have reached the best in the material popularity in the world, but it's totally insignificant when you actually take up devotional service. So he wanted to show that point, that scholarship, importance, fame, you know, everything that centers around that kind of knowledge is really insignificant compared to becoming a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So that was the message that he really gave in a strong way, that although I had everything material, I gave it up to engage in devotional service, just to show that devotional service is glorious and is way beyond anything that one can achieve in material life. That was one of his messages, very powerful message, because at that time, people were seen as important who had that kind of acumen, that ability. Another message that he gave that's really important, and there's many, is that when he was traveling through South India, he came to a place called Kumarakshetra. And as he was traveling, he met one Brahmana who was known as the Kurma Brahmana. The Kurma Brahmana was a very devotional person. He had a family and they were all Krishna conscious. When he met Mahaprabhu, he invited Mahaprabhu to stay at his house as long as he was in Kumarakshetra. So the Lord accepted his invitation, and for 4 days they served the Lord so nicely. They took care of all of his personal needs, prepared prasadam, everything that he could possibly need in his travels. And they also worshipped him. And the Lord was very pleased with the Kurma Brahmana. But at one point, it was time to go. So he had made his statement, and I have to continue on with my travels. So he left. But when he was leaving, when he was walking away, the Kurma Brahmana was walking behind him. And then the Lord was getting a little concerned, and he turns and he stops and he said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going with you." "You can't do that. You have your family. You have your responsibility." And pretty much the Kurma Brahmana dismissed all of that and said, "I just want to be with you. There's nothing in my life that I seek more than having your association." You have, you know, in other words, he had entered the heart of that person so strongly that he couldn't bear the separation from the Lord. But the Lord was very insistent. He said, "Actually, no." He said, "You go back, you stay with your family, and whoever you meet, you tell them about Krishna. Whoever you meet, you teach him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And if you do that, you will never leave my association." And then he said, "By my command, be guru, save the land." So here he was teaching that you don't have to change your position in life. All you have to do is add Krishna. That's all. Rihe dako, bone dako, sabda hari boli dako. Whatever position you are, whether you're grihastha, brahmachari, sannyasa, or whatever, make that, stabilize that position in a practical way and just add Krishna to it. That's all. And then what he said was, "And whoever you meet, tell him about Krishna. Whoever you meet, teach him to chant the Hare Krishna." And he said, "You will never lose my association." And that wasn't just some nice statement. He was making him feel good. And he was also teaching that if we take the mission of Lord Chaitanya very seriously and tell others about Krishna, inspire others to chant Krishna, then we can have the association of the Lord always. He enters into the heart of a devotee who is seriously trying to assist him in spreading the message of Krishna consciousness. So he made that point. Another particular story that happened during the same time is that there was one leper, his name was Vasudev. Now Vasudev had such leprosy that no one could go near him. His body was full of sores, but he was a devotee. And he had heard that Mahaprabhu was coming, and he wanted to see the Lord. He knew he couldn't associate with the Lord, but he just wanted to see the Lord. Now the quality of Vasudeva's bhakti is that his body was full of sores, and living in those sores were worms. And sometimes one of the worms would fall out onto the ground, and he would pick it up and put it back to where that worm fell out, and he would always think, "God has given that worm my body for a home." So that was his humility. Think about that one. It sounds impossible to do, but this was his... He was thinking, "These living entities have come to my body, and this is the arrangement of the Lord, so therefore I shouldn't interfere with that." So his leprosy was really, really intense. No one could go near him. Now, Mahaprabhu passed through Kurukshetra, and the Vasudev could not get the chance to see him. He missed the association of the Lord. He didn't get to see the Lord. And then when he learned that the Lord had already passed through, he was so miserable, so unhappy. He was just thinking, "Just see how wretched I am, how fallen I am, how little devotion I am. All I wanted to do was just see him. And that never happened." When he was praying, thinking like that, the Lord, who already had left, turned around and came back. He went right to the place of Vasudev. He saw Vasudev there, and immediately the Lord ran over to him and embraced him. And as soon as he embraced Vasudev, all of his leprosy was gone. His body became completely healthy and whole. And then the Lord looked at him and said, Vasudev, you don't look happy. And he said, yes, I'm not happy. Why? Well, my dear Lord, you have shown me your mercy, and now people will know that I have been given special mercy by you, and they will think I'm so important, and they will start to glorify me. That's worse than death. I will become proud. So the Lord thought about what he said and said, Vasudev, do one thing, and you'll never become proud. He said, incessantly, he used that word, incessantly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and you'll never become proud. So that was another message he was teaching all of us. Out of all of the anarthas, pride is the most subtlest and the most hardest to detect. Even people who are proud can't even see their own pride. It's so subtle. But others can see it. And so when one makes spiritual advancement, the tendency for pride can easily come in. And if a devotee is not aware of that and doesn't have the proper mindset to deal with that, in other words, to give all credit to the spiritual master, to the Lord, to the assembly of Vaishnavas, not take credit for whatever they're being glorified for, whatever they have achieved in Krishna consciousness, and they can avoid that. But because pride is so subtle, and the living entity in the material world likes to be honored, it's a feature of life. Just like Lord Chaitanya taught, amaninam amanadena. Give respects to others and don't ask any respect for yourself. Now, it's easy or quite natural and normal to give respects to others, but not asking anything for yourself? Think about that one. I'm respecting someone, but I expect something in return. It's just, you might say, ordinary etiquette among people. But Lord Chaitanya said, no. Don't even look for that. And when it comes, offer it to the great souls, the spiritual master, the assembly of devotees, and don't take credit, and don't look for respect. So Lord Chaitanya gave that formula, and it's not an easy formula, because what he said, incessantly, always chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when we hear the spiritual teachers, especially Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also, they speak about that the success in one's bhakti is to chant Hare Krishna always, 24/7. And so to come to that stage takes a lot of practice in that mood and a very, very controlled mind. Extremely controlled mind, where the mind is focused always on the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. But it's possible. And there's many persons. There is one story in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was one Brahmana, he was living in Jagannath Puri, and he was chanting Hare Krishna always. In fact, he couldn't stop. We have that problem? He couldn't stop chanting. So one day when he was walking, going to take care of, you know, his bodily needs, he was thinking, boy, I have to go to an unclean place. And I'm always chanting the holy name, and the holy name is Krishna himself. I'm going to bring Krishna to this dirty place. That's not right. I can't do that. So he was thinking, what can I do? So he decided to hold his tongue so it wouldn't vibrate the name. So he's walking, and he's holding his tongue. And some young boy comes up, and he says, hey, Baba, where are you going? What are you doing? This boy was 10 years old. And he said, well, and he explained, I'm going to take care of nature. I always chant the holy names. I'm just holding my tongue. I don't want to bring it to a dirty place. So the boy said, it's not correct. Krishna's, you know, antiseptic and prophylactic. He purifies every place and he protects everyone. So don't worry. You can chant anywhere, anywhere, everywhere. He's like the sun. Prabhupada used the example. When the sun comes onto a puddle of something unclean, it takes out the uncleanliness and purifies the water. So the man was happy to hear that, and he accepted it, and then he went on. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was watching this whole thing, and he said, he came up to the boy who was 10 years old. He said, what's your name? He said, my name is Gopal. He said, all right, Gopal, I can see you are a guru. So I give you another new name. I give you an additional name. You'll be known as Gopal Guru. And that man, that boy, grew up to be Gopal Guru Goswami, who was a spiritual master of one of Lord Chaitanya's most intimate associates, Vakreshwara Pandit. So, yeah, so the Lord blessed him. So the Lord would do that. When he saw someone who was exhibiting an extraordinary amount of devotion, he would give them extra blessings and they would achieve love of God right on the spot. And when he saw someone who was offending Vaishnavas, then he would, because it's mentioned that if you offend Vaishnavas, the reaction comes. And what is that reaction? We have the example of Haridas Thakur, who was offended by Gopal Chakravarti. We have the example of Srivas Thakur, who was offended by Gopal Champala. They both came down with leprosy immediately, right after the offense. So we might be thinking, you know, I offended a few devotees here and there, and I ain't got no leprosy. Not yet. Of course, we can make amends for that offense, but what was Lord Chaitanya's personal presence, and I'll end with this, is that he speeded up the reactions of sinful activities when he was personally present, and he speeded up the ability to gain devotional service when he was there. He would give devotees, he would bless them with love of God, and immediately they would attain love of God. That was Mahaprabhu's special mercy when he was there. So that was his way of dealing with different living entities. So I think that's my 20 minutes. Thank you very much. I hope you remember those stories because each one has a very important message.
Thank you, Chandramali Maharaj. In the order of reading books that Srila Prabhupada has given us, it is explained that Bhagavad Gita is the simplest. And after reading Bhagavad Gita, then we can read Srimad Bhagavatam and books like Nectar Devotion, etc. And the topmost book that we have from Prabhupada is Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, on the other hand, is a very practical book that we have to how to live as a devotee in Kali Yuga. So it's interesting, the most advanced book we have is How to Live as a Simple Devotee in Kali Yuga. So that's not so easy. On the other hand, there is no difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. As Radha and Krishna had Rasa Leela, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Sankirtan, which is the same as the Rasa Leela. On the other hand, to engage in Rasa Leela and the pastimes of Vrindavan, Rasa is not possible. Those who try to do that are known as Sahajiyas, and there is many varieties of them, the Bows, Garanga Nagaris, there's a whole list. And in the West we have our whole new bunch of Sahajiyas.
every day there's a new group that pops up, usually full of former ISKCON devotees who felt that chanting Hare Krishna was too difficult, that they needed a simpler path. That is, they wanted to become a gopi immediately, or a mandari. But actually, the path of Krishna consciousness, although it's the simplest, it also involves some kind of desire to serve, which is the most difficult, to develop the service attitude. Now, everyone in the material world didn't come to the material world in order to serve. Everyone came here to be served. And even when we put on the pretense that we want to be served, our action mood is, actually, please serve me, because I'm so nice to you. So to develop that service attitude, and with the right attitude, takes a lot of practice. And therefore, our movement is meant to practice, develop the same mood as Vrindavan through the Sankirtan movement. One time Ramaswara Maharaj, at that time Maharaj, he was the head of the book distribution worldwide, and there was some controversy whether the mood of the gopis was the same as the mood of the book distributors. At that time, if you even said the word gopi, you were suspected as being a deviant. So Ramaswara Prabhu, he wrote to Srila Prabhupada a little note, because Prabhupada was living in Dwarka at that time, New Dwarka, in Los Angeles, and asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that the mood of the Sankirtan devotee when he gives books to the people, is that the same mood as the gopis in Vrindavan? And everyone was thinking, oh, Prabhupada's going to write back, you know, this devotee is a sahajiya. No. Prabhupada wrote back, he said, yes, you've understood very nicely that actually the mood of the Sankirtan devotee is actually the same mood as the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, who are always trying to bring others to Krishna. So this movement is actually meant to develop the same mood as the gopis in Vrindavan. As all the residents of Vrindavan, they're all interested in bringing others to Krishna. And by developing that mood, then one will actually make spiritual advancement. Now, we can become a very learned scholar. We can also become a very devotee who does a whole lot of service, constantly engaged in service. But without developing that mood of gopi bharata pada kamalayor, dasa, dasa, anudasa, unless we identify ourselves in that mood, then it's very difficult to make any tangible advancement. That was the amazing thing about Srila Prabhupada that enabled him to actually spread the movement. Now, from the technical point of view, Prabhupada was a good manager, but it didn't appear that he had thought out the whole movement in advance. In one regard, that when he came to America, he found out, well, he saw that there were many people, they went to the intellectuals, the sophisticated, the wealthy people, and they attracted them. But Prabhupada had a hard time figuring out what his audience was. He wound up in the Bowery. And has anyone ever been to New York, to the Bowery? It's a very interesting place. I used to go there sometimes. It was, I can't describe it so easily. It was the one place in New York I never wanted to go to. There are a few other places, but that was one of them. It was kind of like instead of roses and sandalwood, I was just reading a book by Govinda Dasi, Roses and Sandalwood, is urine and some other things put together.
There was one devotee whose mother used to say to him when he didn't clean his room, "Your room looks like the Bowery."
When we used to drop my father and one of my family used to drive by the Bowery, the bums would come out with rags to clean your windshield. And the rag was dirty in your windshield. So after he cleaned it, you couldn't see through it. And anyhow, that's where Prabhupada wound up, in the Bowery. And of course, Prabhupada's spiritual potency was such that even the Bowery bums offered him respect, that at least they would come aside and allow him to pass, and sometimes they'd nod their hats to him. But that was his audience. And I knew some of my friends joined the movement in 68, in the beginning of 1968. They were living in 26 Second Avenue. And even they could not figure out what was going on. If you look at the tapes that the early movies of the devotees in 26 Second Avenue, one of them turns to the camera and says, "Swamiji is teaching us how to become a gopi." And then he says some other things that I still can't understand. I think it was in English, I'm not so sure. So this is, and one scholar came, and he went there and he tried to talk to the devotees there, the aspiring devotees, and he couldn't understand what they were talking about. How is this possible? So then he went to see Prabhupada, Swamiji at that time, and they understood what the whole thing was, how it was working. And he said, Swamiji, "I can't understand what your followers are saying." And I think Prabhupada said something like, "I can't understand them either." But Prabhupada had faith in the holy name. And he had faith that if he engaged them in Krishna's service somehow or another, then Tadami Bodhi Yogam Tam, Krishna would give them the intelligence by which they can come to him to make progress. So Prabhupada engaged, as Ray Rama said. He said, I knew nothing about a printing press. I knew nothing about printing. But Prabhupada may be the editor of Back to Godhead. Of course, he was kind of a writer, Ray Rama. He was a poet. But he knew nothing about publishing magazines. And Prabhupada gave so many devotees so many different services, and he relied upon Krishna to actually train them. I mean, as I said, when I joined the movement, I had three services immediately. I became the head pujari, and I didn't know who the deities were. I became the treasurer, and we had no money. No, I got trained up by the same devotee who trained up Srila Prabhupada, Garga Muni. Who's known as Garga Muni. And the only thing Garga Muni told me is that Prabhupada gave him two instructions. One is, you take all the money and you don't give anything out, was the second one. I was very good at both of them. And then the third service I got, I became the Sankirtan leader. Only because I didn't want to get a job, so we had to make money somehow, so we did it by books. But we actually did it by Harinam Sankirtan. So Prabhupada engaged devotees in such a way as that, whatever they could do, Prabhupada gave them in directions. And somehow or another, just by Prabhupada's faith in the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy name, when I first joined, that we had no idea of how to distribute books. So we had a quota of 70 Back to Godheads every month to distribute them. And so we went up to the University of Buffalo and we gave them out for free every month. But then the time came when we had to make some money in order to provide for the temple, and so my temple president told me to get a job. And that was the last thing in the world I ever joined the temple for, was to get a job. I had never had a job in my life. Actually, I had two jobs in my life. One was an usher in a theater when I was around 13 years old. And all I do is have to shine a flashlight, show people where their seats were. And then I watch the movie over and over again, the same movie. The second job I had was a runner on Wall Street. I just took some piece of paper and I walked over to another place and gave them the piece of paper. That was my only two jobs. And then my temple president told me I had to get a job. I said, oh my God, I don't want to get a job. So then I read a letter that Prabhupada had written to Tamalkrishna Maharaj, telling him how happy he was that they were going out and distributing back to Godheads, and that was maintaining the temple. So I said, oh, that's what we should do. So I never sold, I mean, I sold things. I used to sell stamps and things like that, but I was never really a big businessman. In any case, then I decided we had to do that. So we went out. Actually, at that time, we had some good singers. We had a devotee named Jagadish, who was a good singer. We had another Bhaktabil, who later on became Bhagavan Das. And we had some other good singers. So we went out with the Harinam party. And myself, my roommate, we went out with a conch shell. And we just showed people the conch shell, and they put money in it. And we went back and we collected $26, which is probably, you know, $126 now. He said, well, that's it. Now we know how to survive in the Sankirtan movement. So that became the Sankirtan movement. We went out 8 hours a day at least distributing books because we had nothing else to do. There was no internet. We had no books to read. We had no money for making doing so many fancy things like having a telephone or whatever else. So we just went out 8 hours a day doing Harinam, even in Buffalo, New York, which was like went down to 30 below zero. And we went out with our, you know, tongs and our dhotis and our, because we didn't want to be in Maya. As soon as we joined the temple, our temple president demanded we give all our karmi clothes in. So we had to surrender our karmi clothes. And we didn't have dhotis, actually. We had bed sheets, literally. We didn't know what a dhoti was. Well, we knew what a dhoti was, but we didn't have any. So we went to the neighborhood store, and we bought cloth, big rolls of cloth. We cut it up, and we made dhotis out of them. We didn't have tilak. We had full as earth. We put on full as earth, clay from, literally clay. And 8 hours a day we went out, you know, doing Harinam in the freezing cold weather. And, you know, because we had nothing else to do. I mean, it was great. And then Krishna just transformed it from one thing to the next. And even though we didn't know what we were doing or why we were doing so much, but somehow or another, Krishna just transformed it and utilized whatever energies we had. Harinam transformed into book distribution, was transformed into many, many varieties of service. And now we have our Sankirtan movement. And now it's, in one sense, is expanding just by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, learning how to engage whatever we can in Krishna's service. And although we don't really know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that well, nor do we even know Srila Prabhupada that well. Of course, we know Srila Prabhupada better because so many devotees had so much intimate association with him. And the one thing that they discovered dealing with him is how kind he was, how compassionate he was, how loving Prabhupada was. And for many devotees, that kept them alive in the Sankirtan movement. And now we have a movement where, you know, we have so many different leading devotees and senior devotees, and they're trying to, you know, take care of so many other devotees and at the same time engage them in Krishna's service. So that's our real challenge, is to find out how to... We can't substitute for Srila Prabhupada, nor can we substitute for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the mission is there. The mission of spreading Krishna consciousness to others, which was more or less, even though most of the devotees at that time didn't have so much intimate association with Srila Prabhupada. They didn't know him so much personally, but they were inspired to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. And by that distributing Krishna consciousness to others, because they had faith in Prabhupada's words, that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and that would bring one to perfection. We used to go on in Harinam, and we used to chant, because, you know, when you go out 8 hours a day, we need a little variety. So we used to chant Ishu Upanishad sometimes, and sometimes we chant, back to Godhead, back to God. We actually had faith. We were going back to Godhead. I thought maybe in a couple of weeks or something. I discovered it took a little longer after some time. But we had faith in Srila Prabhupada. We had faith in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We had faith that if we distributed this Krishna consciousness to others, then we'd actually go back to the spiritual world. We'd get all the mercy. And therefore the movement was very dynamic and very, very simple. And then, of course, by some of our leaders discovered other things, they had to make money. And it kind of changed a little bit. If you simply distributed books, then everything else, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would send everything else. If you simply get everything else, then you'll be able to distribute books. So more or less what our goal is, the goal of this movement, is get back to that simplicity of trying to expand this movement and have faith that even if we can see there's so many problems in ISKCON, there's so many problems individually with ourselves and the devotees we deal with. But if we have faith, if we simply work to give this Krishna consciousness to others, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will take care of the rest. That at least one person will go back to Godhead. Ourselves. As it was saying that, I forget what I was reading, that there was Prabhupada was giving a whole lot of a lecture, and it was all about expanding Krishna consciousness, expanding Krishna consciousness, expanding Krishna consciousness. And at the end of the lecture, Prabhupada said, but the most important thing above everything else is to save yourself. So our mission is to expand Krishna consciousness, and we'll be able to do it if we understand the process and we try to save ourselves. And by doing that, we become inspired because we know we have something that's valuable to give to others. That's why Srila Prabhupada always wanted us to read these books. When I first went out, we didn't have any books. We couldn't really read them except for Srimad Bhagavatam. But then after that, we became so enthusiastic that we go out 12 hours a day, sometimes at Radha Damodar, in the party, and we distributed books, but we never read the books. And then one day I decided, I'm just going to have to read these books. So then I drop off my party, and I read the books for like 4 hours, and then I pick up my party. But when I read the books for 4 hours, I was able to distribute in the 1 hour more books than everyone else was distributing in all the time they were out, just by reading Prabhupada's books and becoming inspired that actually so much value is in these books. This is actually what we're trying to give people, this transcendental knowledge, so they can revive their relationship with Krishna. So if we read these books, we take up the process either in the temple or in our home, chanting Hare Krishna with our family, then we'll become inspired to give this Krishna consciousness to others. And even if we find out there's so many problems, then we won't be interested. I mean, I'm a GBC. I have so many different services to do. But after a while, you just lose it. I don't lose interest in the problems, but you see them from a different point of view. That everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. Everyone is supposed to go back to Godhead. And if someone has a problem, the only thing I try to think about is how I can help them. And if I can't help them in some way or another, then it's not my problem. My only problem is to see that they have a problem and try to help them with their problem. That's my problem. And if I can't help them with their problem, then Krishna doesn't want me to have that problem. So we shouldn't be discouraged. Actually, this movement is going to spread by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And we should simply try to participate and be Krishna conscious and see things from the spiritual point of view. Because look at the deities. They're always happy. They're always joyful. Even when they look at us, they're joyful. They don't become depressed. Oh my God, look at this. What's going to happen to this movement? No, they actually see the future. We're all they actually see the future. And therefore, they're always joyful because they know we're all going back to the spiritual world. Sooner or later, we just have a few things to learn. That's all. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, this great institution called ISKCON, Prabhupada said, we'll have our ISKCON even in the spiritual world. So we should be happy that we have this association with this opportunity, and just be a little patient, and the wonderful world of Krishna consciousness will gradually be revealed to us by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, and their followers. Thank you. Hare Krishna.